This morning, I want you to open your Bibles. We're not in Colossians this morning. Instead, we're on Christmas. And since Christmas has been done to death by now on radio, television, and in numerous church services, I'm going to have a Christmas meditation, not so great in length as I hope in depth. And I'd like you to turn, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Now you're going to say to me, what are you doing in the Gospel of John at Christmas time? Because it's obvious that the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke tell us the Christmas story. That's correct. They do. But the Gospel of John tells you what it means. And that's why, as Christians, we ought to be meditating upon the meaning, not just the chronology, historicity, sequence of events of that marvelous Christmas revelation. The story of the star and the wise men is valid history. It happened. God did it for a purpose. The story of Herod frothing and raging and then trying to con the wise men into telling him where Jesus was so that he could kill him is part of history. He didn't succeed. The story of the flight into Egypt to escape the wrath of the madman, part of history. The angelic chorus, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men in whom he is well pleased, is part of history. God did part the heavens, and from the dimension of heaven, break through into earth with power and proclaim what pleased him most, the birth of his son. The unique event in the history of the world. The angelic messenger to Joseph and to Mary, the birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner, in the spirit and power of Elijah, all part of history and a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. He was indeed to be the glory of thy people Israel and the light to lighten the Gentiles. But behind all of the Christmas events, beyond all of the magnificent telling of the story and of history, which reduces to meaningless drivel Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Santa Claus, emerges the core of Christmas. In the beginning was the Word, or reason, or wisdom. And the Word was face to face with God. And the Word was God. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shone on in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend, could not deal with it. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. It did not say took on the appearance of flesh, masqueraded as flesh, looked like flesh, pretended to be flesh, was an illusion of flesh. That's the cults. That's Gnosticism. That's Mary Baker Eddy, religious science. The New Ages. The Word, the wisdom, the reason, the essence of God himself became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the unique one from the Father, unique, one of a kind, full of grace and truth. He was not an angel. For to which of the angels did the Eternal ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies the stool for your foot"? None of them. But to the Son he said, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." When he brought him into the world, the Father spoke to the Son. Recorded in Hebrews chapter 1. He said, "Let all the angels of God worship my Son." And they did. They worshiped him because he was unique. They worshiped him because he was one of a kind. They worshiped him because at a given moment in time and space, God broke through and entered the world as man, which had never been before. He came to the womb of the Virgin in the magnificence of human birth and identified himself with us. The wisdom and power of God incarnate. The core of Christmas is incarnation. An old Greek word, Latin word really, incarnos, in flesh. Something happened. God, who is pure spirit, revealed himself literally in flesh. How he did it, nobody can understand. That he did it is as much a record as the angels that sang or the wise men that brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. The significance of John 1 can never be misunderstood, never underestimated. What's being told us here is that God's wisdom took on human form. That everything that God could mean to man in this world resided in human flesh. That's why Jesus could say uniquely above all the sons of men, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He that receives me receives him that sent me. He that rejects me rejects him that sent me. I have not spoken by my own authority. My Father gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. If a man does not accept me," Jesus said, "and rejects my word, I do not judge him." That's an awesome statement. I do not judge him. The word that I have spoken, it will judge him on that day. What I'm saying will be the judge. Not what you think, not what I think, not what the theologians think, old crop or new crop, not what the philosophers think, not what the world thinks, not what the consensus thinks, not what history thinks, what I said. That will judge you. The incarnation was the appearance of God in human flesh, but not just God in the sense of redeemer, God in the sense of judge. And today at Christmas, we think of the baby and the angels and the wise men and the little town of Bethlehem. And we forget the words of Jesus Christ, "For judgment have I come into this world. Now is the ruler of this world judged." Satan. And he, Hebrews chapter 2 says, became a partaker of flesh You want to know the real reason? That he might ruin completely him, Satan, who has the power of death. That is the devil. Christmas was God's emancipation proclamation. It was signed in a manger and ratified in blood on a cross and sealed by an empty tomb and a broken Roman seal. Incarnation, God with us. No accident that it says his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, El Gibor, the Mighty God, Father of the Everlasting, Sovereign of Peace. Of his kingdom there will be no end. And upon the throne of his father David, he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. The zeal of Yahweh Elohim will bring this to pass. That it might be fulfilled by the prophet, his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Look at John chapter 1 once more. Verse 18. No one has ever seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, or the Greek says God, the only begotten one, who is in the Father's bosom, the Lord Jesus, he has explained him. What is the purpose of the Son? To explain the Father.